What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Well, Sue's off today. She'll be back tomorrow. We also have Senator Eric Schmidt joining us at 5:04 tomorrow night. He's got a brand new book out, which is called The Last Line of Defense, How to Beat the Left in Court. We have, obviously, as we point toward the end of the week, Reardon Roundtable. Fred is putting that panel together. Yesterday on the show, I spent a little time on this because I think it's important. You know, we have a constant theme of covering media bias on this show. It's not too hard, usually, to root it out, but sometimes it's a little more nuanced and maybe even more deceptive. And Olivia Rheingold is with us from the Free Press tonight. She did a great story. There's some great reporting about something that kind of happened at the New York Times, but it goes well beyond that. And I think people should hear about this. Again, Olivia, welcome to the program. I did spend some time on this yesterday. How are you? Great, great reporting here, as usual.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I heard you spoke about this yesterday, and I really appreciate it. It's a really important topic.
So some of it starts with this New York Times story over this 18-month-old boy in Gaza that was on the front page. And the theme for a lot of these stories is you have all these people that are in Gaza that are starving. The Israelis are responsible. The U.S. is responsible. But the picture speaks a little bit more to the truth than the story does because they were deceptive, they got caught, and you did some more in-depth reporting, and this is not the only time that something like this has happened.
Right. So this is a pervasive problem that's happening across outlets. And how I stumbled upon this story is I was looking at this image that the New York Times later had to issue an editor's note based on. And I wanted to learn more about him. And so I started Googling this kid's name, who obviously is very sick, is suffering in Gaza. But I started to realize that he had been photographed by different photographers across outlets. And so to me, that implies some level of coordination.
Yeah,
like
right.
Perhaps this child was selected. We did try and work with some fixers out of Gaza, but we don't have insight. But that's just my theory. And so I did something so simple, it is shocking that no other journalists have thought to do it, which is I took the names of these children and I looked up the Arabic spelling of their names and I scanned Arabic press for mentions of these children's backstories. And it turns out that all of them are obviously very sick and facing grave situations with their health, but they are not victims of an alleged famine. And that is because they have really complicated pre-existing conditions. So these images that are being put out there to try and convince the American public that Israel is starving Gazans don't show that at all. I mean, that there's obviously hunger happening in Gaza, but these images are whipping people into a frenzy. And anyway, it's a very nuanced story, but that's the thrust of it.
Yeah. So in the first case, that's amazing that's how you did the reporting. You had this kid who obviously does have health issues and he has pre-existing issues that affect his brain and muscle development. So there was an updated version of the story. But of course, that does not get into the print edition. And then it's always very convenient when they update the story with an editor's note. They don't do it sometimes like on the main New York Times account for Twitter. They do it on another account.
Right.
And then not as many people see the issue. And then in this particular situation, there was a claim that her son was born a healthy child, and they removed that particular quote from the story as well, didn't they?
That's right. That's right. And I would actually, not to be like a journalism hall monitor or nerd, but that obviously warrants a correction, not an editor's note. It's not context that they're missing. It's actually a correction. So yeah, they're being a little sneaky with it.
Okay, but here's what else is sneaky. This is not the only story. So you start digging deeper here into other images that have gone viral, and you discover the same pattern, don't you?
Right. We just picked 12. The first 12 images that we saw where we were like, okay, this is truly viral. It's traveling across outlets. It's traveling on Twitter, on Reddit, Instagram, whatever. We just chose the first 12 of those, looked into these, and in 12 out of 12 instances, these really disturbing images were of children who, yes, are sick, but their appearance can be explained by pre-existing conditions. Like, we're talking head injuries, cystic fibrosis, rickets, things that are not starvation.
Yeah, and I think there was a reference into, you know, we've all seen these heart-tugging ads over the years from, you know, Africa where kids are starving and they want you to make donations. But that's not what this is, and it's misleading in all of these publications. So in the other pictures that you kind of rooted out and found the same pattern, were there any corrections that were ever issued by those outlets?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So there were two corrections issued, and then the rest were completely unapologetic, where NPR has the most egregious, sorry, you probably love this, a little inter-radio warfare.
Yes.
I'm a former public radio producer, came up through NPR. This is appalling that come, you know, when the next pledge drive, NPR reporters are going to be asking for your money. Their story was egregious in just painting this hopeless image of this boy who, that is accurate, but it's implied that it's because of starvation when he has other conditions going on. But so anyway, some were just like, did not, it's very nuanced, and some did not play ball.
So in the NPR situation, there was a headline that said, people are dying of malnutrition in Gaza. How does starvation kill you? And that's where you have this picture that you refer to. You have an emaciated man carrying a child who is also looking like, you know, he's emaciated. That gets out there. It's spread across the globe. In the NPR situation, now in that case, you found out that the guy has cerebral palsy and other, you know, comorbidities, whatever you want to call it. But there was no apology from NPR on that one. Did they take anything back?
Okay, so that was just the NPR example. We didn't count. So the problem with the NPR story that we counted, that is a different example because we considered it, it's the same child as the Times that they wrote, the New York Times that they wrote this story about. And okay, so the headline for that one is, his name is Mohammed Al-Matawak. He is 18 months old and he is starving in Gaza. So it's actually just on this child, and the New York Times issued a correction. NPR didn't even respond to our request.
Yeah, maybe that doesn't surprise me. But these things get out there, and they get out there on social media, and then obviously, and look, I'm concerned about anything that is a misrepresentation. I don't care what side of politics it's on, but this does seem to be something that's been consistent, whether it's taking the word of Hamas, you know, verbatim on what they may claim when it comes to casualty figures or something that the Israelis did or something along these lines. There is more effort to paint the picture in one direction than the other. And then it seems like when they kind of get caught with their, you know, photos in the cookie jar, if you will, they don't seem to be very bothered by it. The New York Times kind of lets this roll off their editor's note and then moves on, and they probably don't even care about it.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
No, obviously the issue here is that my story, I mean, it's traveling well, it's doing quite well, but I don't think that as many people will be informed by our reporting as they saw that image from the New York Times. And this is a huge problem where I had, not to get emotional here, but I had one of my best friends who is Jewish, broke up with me over this story. And if we are losing people like that, people who think of themselves as progressive and can't even tolerate, like, there are journalists that have complained to me about this story, and I don't understand how,
why wouldn't you care
about the facts?
Yeah, what, so on your friend who's Jewish, that doesn't make, and not to get too personal here, but that makes no sense whatsoever, does it?
Well, it's, I'm sure you're familiar with Jewish Voices for Peace.
Yes.
Like, there are these, and not to be too judgmental here, but I think that these are people who, if they had kids, they likely will not be raised Jewish. I think that a lot of them are the third or fourth generation, honestly, like myself, of immigrants who came to America to escape pogroms. And they are just, I kind of think that a lot of us are the last of the line, and we are Jewish, we are technically Jewish, but we're so disconnected from the faith, and our primary point of reference is, you know, these progressive liberal political ideologies.
But there again, this is where my brain hurts on stuff like this. There's no there's no anger toward the outlets, NPR, The New York Times, or others that are misrepresenting the situation. There's anger toward you for accurately reporting on the misrepresentation and catching them red-handed. That's unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. No, I'm the propagandist. I'm the Joseph Goebbels.
Well, I'm sorry that that happened with a good friend, because I've had a couple of those things happen related to Trump. And I, you know, I have a friend of 45 years that I haven't been speaking to since last fall because of this, because he kind of dropped me and decided I was a Nazi. So I can at least relate on that particular. Yeah, I know. And it's sad. It really is. And, you know, in my mind, I think of things one way. Obviously, we're going to try to get together in some sort of peace summit. I think Trump needs to get us together to hash this out at some point. But it makes me sad. And I think about it on a regular basis. And a lot of it is, it just doesn't make sense to me either. And in your case, it sounds like it would make less sense, honestly.
And I mean, the hardest part is that I am always, it deeply offends me and deeply troubles me. Like, I do have some friends who, they're part of the DSA here, the Democratic Socialists of America in New York City, where I have friends who they're like, yep, I'm a socialist, and I don't understand it, but I try and take a leap of faith that they are coming from a good place, because genuinely, if I take issue with it here in Manhattan, like, I would have
good
no
luck
friends
with that. Right.
Left,
no, I get
you know?
It. Good luck. All right. Well, Godspeed, Olivia. All I know is this was great reporting.
Thank
you so it
really
much. Was really good reporting.
Oh, thank you.
You know, I'm a fan of yours and the Free Press. So thanks for coming on here in St. Louis tonight and exposing this, and good luck with the friend situation. That's never easy.
Thank you. Favorite radio station, so much better than NPR.
Take care, Olivia Rheingold.
Get more at 971talk.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.